From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Russia's president is tightening security throughout the country after two suicide bombings in Moscow's subway system killed at least 37 people. Officials are blaming Caucasus rebels. As Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow, the blasts went off during rush hour.
The first explosion occurred just before 8 a.m. on a train at the Lubyanka station near the former home of the KGB that now houses Russia's security service. The second blast struck about 45 minutes later at Park Kulturi station, four stops away on the same line. Moscow's mayor said the two attacks were carried out by female suicide bombers. The central section of the line has been closed as investigators work at the scenes and scour surveillance camera footage for clues. Terrorist violence has been largely confined to Chechnya and its neighbors in southern Russia in recent years, but last November, 27 people were killed when a Moscow St. Petersburg express train derailed in a bombing blamed on Chechen militants. Moscow's metro, one of the busiest in the world, has not been targeted since 2004. For NPR News, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
President Obama is scheduled to be back at the White House shortly. He's landed at Andrews Air Force Base after his unannounced weekend trip to Afghanistan. Here he is with U.S. troops in Afghanistan, telling them their mission is multi-sided but clear and has his full support.
We are going to disrupt and dismantle, defeat and destroy Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies. That is our mission. And to accomplish that goal, our objectives here in Afghanistan are also clear. We're going to deny Al-Qaeda safe haven. We're going to reverse the Taliban's momentum. We're going to strengthen the capacity of Afghan security forces and the Afghan government so that they can begin taking responsibility and gain confidence of the Afghan people.
Mr. Obama's message to Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai, clean up corruption and improve living conditions for Afghan citizens so they'll have less reason to join militant anti-government groups. Australia's foreign minister does not think much of the 15-year sentence China is imposing on an Australian who ran the Rio Tinto mining company's iron ore operation in China.
By any measure, I think this is a tough sentence.
That's Australian Foreign Minister Stephen Smith. Former Rio Tinto executive Stern Hu admits to bribery, and China responds by reducing his active sentence by a third to 10 years. Three other Rio Tinto employees are sentenced to from 7 to 14 years on charges of bribery and stealing trade secrets. The latest numbers show the U.S. economy growing modestly, not spectacularly. The Commerce Department reports consumers spent about 0.3% more last month than they did in January. But if they spent more, they didn't cover it with increased pay. Incomes did not budge last month from January. This is NPR News. Forecasters say the storm system that snapped power lines and tore roofs off some buildings in the Mid-South will move all the way along the Atlantic seaboard today to Maine. Some people say they saw tornadoes in south-central North Carolina near the South Carolina line, but meteorologists have not confirmed those reports. Another accident in a Chinese mine, and this one has upwards of 150 people reported trapped. China's mines are known to be some of the world's most dangerous. An official says rescuers are attempting to reach the trapped miners after floodwaters roared through where they were working. Officials say more than 100 people are safe. They were lifted out of the mine. The Final Four is set in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. In the women's bracket, semifinalists will be determined later today and tomorrow. NPR's Mike Pesca has this review of the pairings.
The Duke Blue Devils will be the only top-seeded men's team traveling to Indianapolis, having used good three-point and free-throw shooting to down Baylor. Duke will face an athletic and tough West Virginia team led by Deshaun Butler, whose outside shooting was the Mountaineers' only effective weapon for an entire half against Kentucky. On the other side of the men's bracket is Michigan State and Butler, the Indianapolis school that plays in the Horizon League. In the women's tournament, top-seeded Connecticut and Stanford have not really been tested, but the other number one seeds, Nebraska and Tennessee, are already out. Baylor could get some revenge because they face Duke, the only time a men's matchup has mirrored a women's matchup in the Elite Eight since the current tournament format was adopted. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.